Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 329, recorded on May 5th, 2017. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston. With me, as always, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How about you?
Good.
Awesome.
And Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm well, still. Yeah, so we're... I guess the first cool thing that's happening this week, or that we heard about, is that Amazon has, well, they didn't say, but according to Recode,
Jeff Bezos said.
Did Bezos actually said or no? I think
no, he didn't.
This is hearsay.
He did?
This is hearsay.
No, he did.
No, it was insider sources saying it. What he said previously.
What did he say at Recode?
What are we talking about? Someone saying. Let's just spit it out. Amazon Prime Video on the Apple TV.
Yes.
Okay. And so Recode has a source, a secret sauce that said that it's coming soon in the third quarter.
Right.
So we're thinking summer.
And so what Bezos said, which was in an earlier Recode interview, was that unless they see a value in having their Prime software on a device, they're not going to put it there.
So now they see a value.
So now they see a value.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone's saying they see a value.
Yeah, we're assuming they see a value.
I never understood the statement. Can we analyze that for a bit?
All right. Would you like to hear what I think it means?
Well, should we give the direct quote?
Sure. If you have
we
it
want
in front
our player, our Prime Video player, be on the device, and we want it to be on the device with acceptable business terms. And so you can always get the player on the device. The question is, can you do so with acceptable business terms? If you can't, then we don't want to sell it to our customers because they're going to be buying it thinking they can watch Prime Video. And then they're going to be disappointed, and they're going to return it.
What the hell does that mean?
Exactly. How does not having acceptable business terms
translate to being able to watch it?
The device not to work with Prime Video.
All right. So here's my take on that. Unacceptable business terms means Amazon doesn't like the data deal or data sharing deal or the price or Apple's cut, whatever. Okay.
Right. That's fine.
So that means they're not going to release a Prime Video app for that device, in this case, Apple TV. And since there's no Prime Video app for Apple TV, that means that they're not going to allow the device to be sold because it doesn't have a Prime Video app. And they don't want to have devices on their store that do streaming without having Prime on it.
So this was talking about why they wouldn't sell Apple TV on Amazon.com.
Yes.
I thought this was talking about why they wouldn't have Prime Video Player on Apple TV. And in that context, it made no sense.
Yeah. No, in the context of why isn't the Apple TV on the Amazon store? There you
that
go.
That makes more sense then. I was confused about that. Yeah.
So
apparently they're happy with the terms now, whatever those new terms may be.
I can't imagine that they would be happy with the non-data sharing part. Because he talked about that too.
Yeah, the data part's really important.
Being able to monitor people who have Prime Video and noting that they renew at higher rates their Prime memberships and that they convert more people from free trials of Prime when they use Prime Video.
Mm-hmm.
So they want more Prime video customers because that keeps them loyal to Amazon for a lot longer. All I know is this. When I tweeted about this, I got so many responses from people that are like, thank God, finally. And it's the weirdest thing about it is they've had the Prime Video app on iOS like for forever.
Right.
So I really don't see the difference.
You don't.
The only difference that I'm aware of is they're not allowed to direct link to like signing up for a Prime account right from inside the app, but they can, I think, display like a URL. It just can't be like clickable, or they can say, you know, go to Amazon, and they do in the Prime Video app. If you come across a video that's not Prime Video, but you can buy on Amazon, you know, they have this whole, how do I watch it link? And then it basically says in text, you can't click it. It says, you know, go to Amazon.com and log into your account and buy the movie. And then you can have it on the whatever their streaming, you know, the library is for purchases, right? That you also access through Prime Video. So the only thing I can think of is they were fine being on iOS because an iOS device has a browser. So you can like flip over and actually browse, whereas you can't do that on the Apple TV because the Apple TV doesn't have a browser. But it always seemed weird to me because, you know, most of the people I know either have a phone or a tablet with them nowadays when they're watching TV.
Right. And, you know, and actually if they wanted to minimize the typing people have to do, couldn't they just put a barcode up on the screen and say, here's the barcode for the, or a QR code. Here's the QR right. code for the URL. Just point your phone at this.
I don't know if Apple would allow that or not. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if they allow it either. I haven't seen it anywhere. So either I'm brilliant and just came up with something no one thought of, or you can't do it.
If they're really smart, though, they just deal with in-app purchase and they've worked. My guess is they're going to do in-app purchase and they've worked out some sort of really sweet deal with Apple for the.
I bet you're right.
For the exchange. No, like they're paying 15% seems to be the place that Apple normally goes to, but maybe they even got a better deal than that.
Yeah. I'm assuming they have a special deal.
Special.
And
the question is how special?
Well, I'm sure it's pretty special because I think it's important to Apple that Amazon Prime be on the Apple TV. Yeah. Because once that's there, this is really the go-to box because this is the one that has all the services in one place.
Again, I had people on my Twitter saying, oh, good, I can buy a new Apple TV now.
Yeah, and like for me, I don't have to use my Fire Stick anymore. And I know that's not a big deal, but at the same time, it is. You know, if you're jumping around and you want to watch a show that's available only on one service and then another one that's only available on another service, you're having to jump between inputs and pick up the different remotes. And I know, first world problem, but it's a kind of first world problem that keeps people from watching content.
Yeah, it kind of became a non-issue for me because I just use AirPlay and it's not that huge a deal, but it's much more convenient if it's just on the Apple TV.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to, I guess the one big thing that we missed last week because we took the week off was these CNC dummies of the iPhone 8, iPhone Edition. That were leaked. And you guys, I'm sure, I'm positive you saw them because I sent them to you.
Michael sent us a text message. He was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm buying this. No, I said, this is it. I'm calling it. This is it. This is the one. This is what it looks like. My sense tingles at this.
The difference being that the CNC mockup has chrome for the frame, and the actual one probably won't.
It's gonna have some kind of.
It'll be like the space gray thing.
Yeah, like some kind of anodized stainless steel situation.
It's
It's going to be like the
anodized steel,
the stainless steel black Apple Watch.
Yeah.
That's the finish.
Precisely. So I don't know. I'm not ever buying a black phone again because I lose it. But
you're not going to have a choice if you want this one.
You think it's only going to be black?
Yep.
Well, I also pointed out that I'm not getting it unless T-Mobile gives me some kind of deal I can't refuse.
My guess is they will because they love you.
All right. And I love them.
I'm guessing they're only going to have one color, one model.
I'm hoping for, I'm going to get whatever. If there's only one other color, then I'm going to get that. But regardless, I feel this design harkens back to the original iPhone. It looks
what if they went with the silver and if they went with an anodized finish instead of a shiny finish, I think.
I like the way it looks with the silver. It looks really cool. It looks really good.
Yeah.
It does look cool. It's kind of retro, but still cool.
Yeah, retro in a good way. So it's two glass, a glass front and back with a stainless steel frame. It appears
back
to
up.
What?
It's the back is not glass.
Yeah, it is. What is it? What is it? If it's not glass,
it's metal.
No, it's not.
That mock-up that you sent us is metal back. It's not glass. We're still talking about the CNC thing?
You may not know what I'm talking about then. You must know what I'm talking about. It's a black front and back. And the back is glass.
You're talking about the Benjamin Geskin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wheat.
It's glass on the back, and this supports the whole idea of the wireless charging happening. There's no.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There's no like cutout for.
Does the glass actually matter for wireless charging?
Well, it can't be metal. I don't think.
I think it can.
I think there's probably too much interference. Through metal.
I've got a
I see it now. The problem was when I was looking at the back before, I thought it was just the like metal reflecting, but I can see now what you're talking about. I was totally confused by this.
I don't think it needs to be glass, but I agree with you. As I look at the pictures, this is glass.
Yeah, so it has this metal chrome metal band around it that he then later said was going to be black and not silver.
Yeah,
I think he even showed a sample of the black version in a later tweet.
Some kind of render he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then no spot for a Touch ID on the back. So it's with the Touch ID on the front. And vertical camera, dual vertical
camera.
The
lens assembly have like a metal ring around it or like a metal.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's actual color or just because it's a CNC. Huh.
I think regardless, it's some kind of like rough version. I think the CNC, we're kind of mixing up what's going on here because there was one of these photos in the leaks actually shows like a piece of metal that had been CNC'd and you can see the actual like mill marks on it. And that is metal. And that does depict a raised camera spot. But this is this is more refined of a mock-up, I guess. It also has a longer power button in the same general spot, but it does have a longer power button for whatever reason. But yeah, it looks good. I'm calling it. This is what it's going to look like. And since then, we also saw a schematic from a different place from KK Leaks, On Leaks. Actually, Geskin also tweeted this image. So it's a schematic some kind of drawing where we see basically that what was depicted in the image, we see a kind of like an X-ray view with the camera placed and an oval. Actually, I'm going to call it a squircle. It's a squircle shape in the middle.
A squircle.
That's what it is. Right?
Squircle.
I love that word. Where I would imagine the wireless charging pad would be.
Yep.
So we got the wireless charging squircle, and then we've also seen a case leak this week. I'm sorry, last Friday. That basically depicts the same thing. Case leaks in the past have been a good indication of kind of the more final design, at least in this general time period. So things are kind of coming together for this design of the iPhone. And I'm pretty happy about it. However, you know, every other rumor is that of some analyst saying, "Oh, it's coming out, but don't expect to be able to get your hands on one for a while because it's going to take a while." Ming-Chi Kuo has chimed in and said he's certain that we're going to see a delay, like a more of a delay than in past years. With supplies ramping up around October, November, with our announcement happening in September. So very constrained.
Yeah, which is kind of disappointing, but also not surprising.
Yeah, we'll live though. It's just a phone. I mean,
sometimes it's like, I don't even know who you are.
We all have phones already, right? I mean, I text you on them, so I'm pretty sure those won't fall apart, at least until, you know, you can definitely get one.
Yeah.
So
I suppose that's a little consolation.
We're big boys. We can survive this. We can wait. So I want to talk about the smart speaker, the Apple Siri cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. But I also don't really like, there are other things that I should get, but I don't get. So maybe.
Do you have an Echo or Echo Dot?
No, I don't want an Amazon spy box.
Okay. Then you're not going to get why people are champing at the bit for a Siri box.
Are you saying it's because I'm not the type of person to want it, or I haven't realized how great it is?
Since you haven't experienced what you can do with an Echo and Echo Dot, I think it's hard to get why people are really excited about a Siri version of that. Okay. So the thing about go ahead.
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
How do you trigger those things? Is it "Hey Alexa"?
No, all you have to do is say "Alexa" and then whatever you want, like "Alexa, buy 2 tons of creamed corn."
Okay. And then that shows up at your house.
And this is exactly why I have my Alexa set to not do purchasing, because she just told me she can't do that. But the thing is, once you have a device like this, even though I think the Echo is a royal pain in the ass to set up, because there is no intelligence in this. It's all about voice and word recognition. And so it has to pick out the word patterns. And then based on everything that you've pre-programmed, it can trigger exactly the thing based on exactly the words you use. So, it's, in that sense, it's a very stupid device. But once you've set it up, it makes things stunningly convenient. And people that are saying, "Well, look, I've got my iPhone in my pocket. I'll just pull it out and talk to that." I totally get it. But once you're able to do things without needing to involve your hands in the whole voice process, it changes everything. So like for me, I can come into my place and have my arms full of groceries, and I can make Alexa change the temperature on the thermostat, turn on just the lights that I need, and do all kinds of things while my hands are still tied up, in essence. Hmm. And having the freedom of being able to be just anywhere in my apartment and talk to the air and stuff happens is really, really cool. And it's one of those things that now that I can do it, I don't want to ever stop doing it. So if I could do it with a Siri capable device, that would be cool too. Of course, now the thing is, Brian Chaffin on Daily Observations got me to say I would absolutely switch to a HomeKit Siri device from my Echoes. And I've been questioning that because I have so much stuff set up. I really don't know if I want to reprogram everything for this other device.
You should just go live in a cabin in the woods with no electricity.
I'm just so not as enamored with the Amazon Echo as everybody else is. And now my Echo is going to go off because that's the trigger word I've got for it.
What is it, Echo?
Yeah.
So what happens when you play that that R. Kelly song, Echo?
Well, that's the one thing I don't like about it is it's constantly going off when it's not supposed to, even when I don't need to say anything close to the trigger word, which I can't figure out other than it's the NSA enabling it and listening in.
Yeah, I occasionally will have Alexa out of the blue say she doesn't understand what I'm saying.
And from really far away, which is a little creepy as well.
Yeah.
I'll be completely in the other room and I'll hear it's gone off for some reason.
Maybe it's your dog. Yeah.
My what?
Your dog.
I don't think so.
It's probably the dog trying to order some like milk bones or some stuff.
Sure. And who'd blame the dog? Another thing that annoys me about the Echo and Echo Dot is that each unit is a completely isolated appliance. So the way I have mine set up, I have two, and they're as far apart as they can possibly be in my place. So my apartment is big enough that two is great, but small enough that I can be anywhere in my place and just speak normally, and my Echoes will hear me. But they don't know the other exists. So the one in the bedroom I have speakers connected to, and I'll play music in there. I get into the living room, and I tell my Echo to stop playing the music because I realize I didn't tell it that when I was back by the bedroom. And it tells me it's not playing music because it has no idea.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I have to go back where I'm in earshot of the other device and tell it to stop the music, and then it's okay. That's not a huge deal, but it's an example of how stunningly limited the Echo really is, and at times it's incredibly frustrating to talk to the thing because if you don't get the words in the exact right order and the exact words that you need to say, it has no idea what you're talking about. There's no intelligence there at all. Mm. And these are the things that make me excited for an Apple Siri appliance, because Siri has intelligence. And even though a lot of people think it's stupid, no, there's some AI and machine learning happening there. And Siri has a much better chance of figuring out just in general what I'm saying if I don't get the right words than an Echo, because the Echo can only respond to the exact words that it's programmed for.
Okay. All right. So we're going to continue this discussion in a moment. But before we do that, we have to mention our sponsor this week, which is HelloFresh. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking more fun so you can focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time. They source the freshest ingredients, measured to the exact quantities needed so there's no food waste. They employ two full-time registered dietitians on staff who review each recipe to ensure it's nutritionally balanced. All of this is delivered right to your doorstep in a recyclable, insulated box for free. And all of the ingredients are separated by recipe in a fancy little box in order to make life simple. They're now offering light spring meals, and they have just introduced breakfast options, which is super cool. Best of all, each recipe now costs less than $10 a meal. So my experience, when I got one, I got the Jamie Oliver's Alu Gobi, the Indian dish, honey glazed pork and mozzarella crusted chicken. They were all great, but that honey glazed pork was especially wonderful. It was really satisfying to know that I made something that tasted so good. I love the packaging. Everything is organized, and the recipes are in a neat, well-designed booklet, which is great because I loved how much the recipes taught me about cooking, and I'll be using them again in the future. It includes nearly everything you need to cook the food, and of course, they tasted great, and there was more than enough to keep me satisfied. Best of all, I didn't have to worry about finding ingredients or making sure I had a recipe that would work. It was all taken care of and delivered right to my door. So, for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the code TIOSS35 when you subscribe. HelloFresh, check them out. All right, so Apple has plans, allegedly, of releasing one of these cylinders with a speaker and Siri built into it.
A lot of speakers. Seven speakers plus a subwoofer.
Yeah, seven speakers plus a subwoofer with AirPlay capability and another Siri at your command.
So is it going to be
And it's probably going to be very expensive.
It's definitely going to be expensive. You know that.
It'll cost more than a regular Echo.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, probably. Probably not much more. So a standard Echo is what, $179?
I thought the rumor was
it comes in at one. I'm guessing Apple's offering comes in at like $199.
I thought we were thinking it was going to be $179, but maybe that's.
I'm guessing just under $200. Seems like the right price point.
I bet you're right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And now, since I can have Siri tell me my my schedule and look up all of my contacts and respond to my personal text messages and emails, is Apple going to allow that through this device, or are they going to hobble it so that in that sense, so that all of the stuff that I would prefer to keep private stays that way? I mean, up to now, Siri's been a one-to-one sort of thing.
Yeah.
It may require a voice print identification.
I have speculated on that, which would be kind of cool.
It would be really nice if it was multi-user.
Yeah.
And that would give Apple an edge on any other product that's in the market if they could pull something like that off, where it could recognize by voice which person on, say, an iCloud family share account is speaking.
That would be really cool.
And then literally you just ask to read messages or check my email and it would know which account to check.
Right.
And they could easily have a fallback where, you know, if it got confused or wasn't sure, it could just simply ask.
Right. And then if it still can't figure out who you are, then it just defaults to basic functionality. So you can do voice control of streaming media and home and some HomeKit devices. Don't want to let it do locks and stuff if you're not sure who's talking.
Well, and you'd almost need it too for like music, especially again with family sharing, because every family member has their own playlists. They have their own, you know. And so it wouldn't be that hard to figure out, even with some smart intelligence, you know, if a playlist is being asked for and it doesn't match the voice print or something like that, you know, you just don't play it.
Right.
Or you think it's, you know, a playlist and you're like, nope, that's not this person. I don't know. They could certainly build some smarts into it, I think. That would be amazing. I don't think it's going to have that, but it would be amazing.
It would be very amazing.
We are hearing, there was a rumor that the next version of Apple TV was looking like it was going to get multi-user accounts.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
Which shows hope for maybe multi-user on other iOS devices. But it would make sense for it to come to Apple TV first, and mainly because of the TV app, right? Did we talk about this?
I don't think we've talked about it yet, but I have a feeling we're going to.
Yeah, well, because I think it's amazing. And it does make sense, with especially with the TV app, because now, like, my Apple TV is tied into my account. And when you go on there, it's showing all the recommendations for me. But there's multiple people in my family, and we have a family share plan, and we all use the Apple TV. So, you know, if my kids go in there and watch something now, it messes up my content and my recommendations, and vice versa.
Yeah, that's definitely becoming a problem for real people.
Well, it's not as much of a problem on iOS devices, because all your iOS devices are individual and they're tied into the individual accounts. It just becomes a problem when you have a device like an Apple TV that's shared by multiple family members, and this speaker thing would end up being the same sort of dilemma, right? As Jeff was pointing out.
Yeah.
Well, we're expecting to see, there's a 50%, who was this, who said it's over a 50%?
Ming-Chi Kao said it's just over 50%.
That we're going to see it at WWDC.
Right. And I'm not convinced see it means be able to buy it.
Right.
It may mean that we get a preview of it, and then it'll be coming a few weeks or a couple months, whatever, later.
Well, if we see it at WWDC, there's a good chance that the point is to get developers on board.
Right.
You know, I just thought of another thing that they could do. If they don't or can't get voice print down on something like the home speaker, they could develop some sort of voice activated, like, fast user switching that then you use Touch ID on your iPhone to authenticate before. So you request it to switch to a different account, and then it just asks you to verify with, like, Touch ID or a voice passcode, and then it just switches into that account mode. And then it times out.
Well, okay, so you know how when you set up your Ola Siri, which you almost don't need to obfuscate it unless someone here has a voice like mine, but they do that so that you can have Ola Siri without it being plugged in, and it's ostensibly not going to be triggered by somebody else doing it.
Correct.
So,
but that's a far cry from a really sophisticated voice print. Like, if somebody was good enough at imitating your voice, they could probably.
What I'm saying is, they could potentially extend that, and in a very Apple way, make it so Siri, much like a human, would just recognize who's speaking, and do the right thing based on who's speaking.
Again, if they can pull that off, awesome. And if it works really well, my concern would be that it might be too spoofable or just too difficult at this point. It's like, you know, how if they can get it really great, then great. That's what they should absolutely do. I was just saying there is a potential fallback, which is, you know, some sort of way to switch accounts, or when you're trying to access, like Jeff said, have basic generic accounts be open to everybody, or commands that are open to everybody. But when you're trying to access messages or email or something like that, ask for some sort of additional authentication. And I was just pointing out that, you know, with like Bluetooth Low Energy communication and Touch ID, you probably could pull it off with Touch ID on a phone or something like that. So it's like, you know, check my email, and it's like it could just prompt you. Like, there would be ways to secure that stuff. That's all.
Yeah. Okay, so there's that. And the last thing on my list is that Apple has hired a guy from JPL who worked on augmented reality at JPL. So he had been there since 1999. And he founded, the Mission Operations Innovation Office and the JPL Ops Lab. I've actually been to the Ops Lab, And that place, that's pretty cool. I may have actually described my experience there. So when I checked it out, the whole point is, for example, when you're driving a rover on Mars, you can do it through a display, a traditional computer display, and see what, you know, whatever the photo of, that the rover took of the landscape, and you can point your mouse and click and say, go there. But it's hard to discern whether there are obstacles and that sort of thing. So, what I got to try was, it was an Oculus. It wasn't a, HoloLens. So the Oculus rig that they had involved, motion tracking in addition to the Oculus, and you put the thing on and, you are transported to the surface of Mars, and you can walk around and you can turn back and actually look at the rover sitting there and look around at the environment and figure out the best way to go. So in addition to driving rovers on Mars, he also worked on things for, you guys know the RoboSimeon that's at ISS. So doing things for controlling that, or using the HoloLens to help astronauts run experiments on the space station, that sort of thing. Lots of really cool stuff. He's a very innovative guy. Never met him, but so now he's working at Apple in their augmented reality effort. And you know, over the last,
do we know for sure he's in augmented reality, or are we just assuming that? It's probably a safe assumption, but do we know for sure?
It may be an assumption. I'm not sure. Bloomberg says they hired him. I'm not sure if it was specifically for that. But so the title says to help run their efforts. So I'm guessing. What else would he be doing, right? So it's a good assumption. And Tim Cook, over the last year or so, has indicated he's very excited about augmented reality. We're seeing the cameras, the dual cameras on the iPhone edition, in a configuration that imply augmented reality stuff. We're also expecting 3D facial recognition. So there's a lot of stuff going on in that field at Apple, in addition to the car efforts, right? There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on, the machine vision type thing. So it's exciting.
Yeah. It's, my guess is Apple has a much higher likelihood of coming up with a consumer friendly or consumer approachable augmented reality experience than many other companies.
Yes. Well, they're not, they typically don't release things that don't have a great use.
Yeah. They're not going to release Google Glass.
Yeah. What's that thing for? I don't know. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So let's do our picks and get out of here. So Jeff, I know you have one because you said you did.
Yes, and mine's kind of expensive-ish. Mine is the Harmony Elite remote from Logitech. And the reason it's my pick is because now that I have one and have programmed it, it's taken me from having five remotes scattered around to doing everything with one. And so it can control my Apple TV. It can control my Fire Stick. It can control my Blu-ray player. I still have a Wii, and it can control a Wii. And then it links up to my smart home gear. So I can turn on the TV by tapping a button, a virtual button, because it's got a screen on it, and it will turn on the television. It will put it on the right input. It will wake up the Apple TV. It will turn on my soundbar. And then if it's after dark, it changes the lights so that the lights that I want on are on, and they're at the right brightness level for watching TV. And I just love that I can do a single tap and control gobs of stuff all at once. And it even has a skill for Alexa. So once I get around to actually setting that up, I can walk into my living room and tell my Echo Dot to turn on the television instead of picking up the remote, and have it go into whatever configuration I want just by talking. And it's turning out to be pretty fracking cool. The only thing that's kind of an issue for me, and it might be because I should probably go read the manual, when I'm doing scrubbing, like fast forward scrubbing in Apple TV, it doesn't work the same way as it does with a little remote that Apple has. So I've had to kind of go old school with tapping the fast forward button and then hitting the play button and stuff like that. But everything else works exactly as I expect. And it's like $349.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. Is that all? I know. It's like I said, it's kind of an expensive thing. But if you have a pretty sophisticated entertainment center system and you have smart home gear as well, you know, like Hue lights and Lutron stuff and just all of that stuff, it becomes really cool because now you have a single device that with the tap of a button, all kinds of stuff happens.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right. So Logitech Harmony Elite Remote. Check it out. Adam, what's your pick?
Yes, sir. I am going to pick a fun little game for iPhone, iPad, and Apple TV. Plus, it comes with a set of really cool iMessage stickers if you're into that sort of thing. And it's cat-themed, so you know it's awesome. It's an app called The Big Journey. I think it's $1.99. It's one of these fun little tilt-and-roll kind of adventures where you play a cat, a little fat, roly-poly cat named Mr. Whiskers. And his favorite food has been gone missing or taken away, which is dumplings. And so you roll him around across different environments and through different obstacles and things to collect dumplings and meet new friends. And it's got a great, what hooked me into it is I saw actually a promo for it. And if you can find the promo on YouTube, it has an awesome, like, original soundtrack and music to it. I actually went looking, I think originally, to see if the song was on iTunes, but I don't think I found it. But it's just got awesome graphics. It's got an awesome look to it. And it's just a lot of fun. We were playing it on the Apple TV, and for $1.99, you get everything. So it's actually a really good deal.
Nice.
What's it called again?
The Big Journey.
The Big Journey.
It looks a lot like another game. I can't remember what that was called, but it involved like a little hedgehog. Like a black and white hedgehog thing, a silhouetted.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
yeah. You're talking about Badlands. Yeah.
Badlands.
It looks like Badlands.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, this is a lot more colorful and a lot more cartoony. Badlands was kind of that darker thing, and you flew around. This guy rolls around. So this is kind of a little bit too like.
It's Leo's, like Badlands.
Leo's Fortune.
Oh yeah.
If anybody played that, where you kind of roll, you're this roly-poly thing rolling along, and you tilt to. Anyway, it's fun.
Cool.
Check out the trailer on YouTube, and you'll get the cool fun song. Actually, here it is. Let's see if we can hear it. I don't know if you guys will be able to hear this. Anyway, there you go. Little sample.
Nice. All right. So that is The Big Journey, $1.99. My pick is an iOS app and website called Symbolab. And it is for people who are doing some math. And if you, I actually had this situation the other day. I was tutoring somebody. I'd gone through the class and we were trying to do some, I think we were doing infinite series and we wanted to figure out if something converged. But I couldn't remember how we had to integrate this equation and I couldn't remember how to do it. And, you know, I was tutoring this person and they couldn't remember how to do it either. And instead of flipping open the book, taking 20 minutes to figure out how do we do this, I just typed the equation into Symbolab. I said, please integrate this for me. And not only will it do that for you, that's not really the interesting part. The interesting part is it will show you step by step how to do all kinds of math things. So, I mean, I think even if you do as simple as typing like 5 squared and hit go, you can click show steps. Yeah, that one's too easy. It's not going to show you steps for that. But things like integration, differentiation, series, fractions. I mean, it does all these things. It's a giant calculator, but it shows you how to do stuff step by step, which is really the cool, great thing about it. So if you have to do any calculus or any, you know, advanced math, you should check out Symbolab because it does great things for you. And it's a nice little tool to keep in your hip pocket because, you know, like I said, I had done this stuff before and it was kind of an emergency, like, oh, how do we do this? I forget. And I remember that you could use it and it bailed us out. So it's good stuff. Check it out. It's free on the iOS store and you can also check it out at symbolab.com, S-Y-M-B-O-L-A-B. And with that, you can find all the picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the email address to which you can send your questions, comments, feedback, all that stuff. If you have something to let us know, send it to that address. You can check out our sponsor, which is HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com and use the promo code TIOSS35 for $35 off your first week of deliveries. Our advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, BackbeatMedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Adam, as always.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com. The TMO Daily Observations podcast every weekday and at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Jeff.
I have a blast every single week.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
Internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?